Praise God. It's so good to be here, such an honor to be here today to speak to you about one of the things I'm so passionate about, which is parenting. First of all, before I go ahead, I'd like to say thank you to Sheyi Fadairo for inviting me. This is an opportunity that I don't take for granted. I always see it as a great privilege to speak to God's people about God's word. And that's the angle that I'm going to bring to parenting today. The fact that whether you're a Christian or not, parenting is a high calling. And there are certain things that, especially for those of us who are Christians, there are certain things that God expects us to do and to know. And so I want to share some of those things with you today. And I also want to share a few practical tips, because sometimes we talk about parenting and then we just talk about it, you know, over our heads. Just have nice quotes and quotable quotes and nice things that people should say or know. But I want to give you very practical tips and probably use a few of my own personal examples on parenting. Now, the truth about parenting is that God expects that parenting is a partnership. God doesn't expect just the mother to parent. And in this part of the world, especially where I live in Nigeria, it has become a thing where the art of parenting has been relegated to just the mother. So if there's an issue in the family, it's the mother that everyone calls. And I also think that maybe also just because if you look at the book of Proverbs, the Bible talks about when a child is misbehaving, it's a shame of the mother. So I think that somehow parenting has become unconsciously a woman's thing. But that's not God's original plan. God's original plan is that both father and mother would be involved in parenting a child. In fact, whenever you read the Bible and God talks about parenting, he talks about the fathers first. So before I even go ahead and talk about real parenting and the details, I want to ask the men, the fathers, to step back into their role. When you read the Bible talks about men begatting children. Okay, so you see this person begat this person begat that. Every time you read the Bible, you will see that it is the fathers that were called. So I want men, and I want to encourage a lot of men, to step back into the role of fatherhood. The fathers have been missing for too long. Too many daughters are hurting. Too many sons are confused because there are no more fathers in the home. So I'm asking the father, step up to your role in the home. Be a father. Be a parent. Let the children know that they have a father. The truth is, a mother can only do so much. Children get their identity from their father. Boys learn what it means to be a man from their father. Girls learn what it means to have a man in their lives. The first person that should tell a girl that she's loved or that she's beautiful should be her father. So when she gets enough love and satisfaction from her father, she doesn't go out looking for love in all the wrong places. Too many girls are broken. Too many girls have daddy issues. Too many girls are misbehaving today because the fathers are missing in the home. Let me read a scripture to you. Genesis chapter 18, and I'll read verse 19, but I want to read it in the plain English version. And this is God speaking. He says, I have picked him out so that he can teach his family to live my way. God was talking about Abraham here. He said, I have picked him out. Talked about Abraham. I've picked him so that he can teach his family to live my way and to do what is good and what is right. Then I will keep my promise to him. So God's plan wasn't just Sarah taking care of Isaac. God's plan was that parenting would be done by Abraham. Abraham would pass it down from generation to generation. He would speak to Isaac. Isaac would train Jacob. And it would be batons passed on from generation to generation. So I'm still calling on the men. I'm appealing to you. Even before I go into the nitty-gritty of what I want to talk about today, it's important that men, you rise up to the occasion. If you're a man listening to me, say to yourself, I will parent my children. I will teach my children God's ways, and I will focus on their future and help them to fulfill their destiny. That should be your purpose. That should be your plan. It's not just about working and making money. Money can never replace parenting. Money can never replace discipline. Money can never replace love. So you must make up your mind, be committed to raising up your children the way God wants them to be raised. Now, parenting is so important to God because out of your marriage, what God really wants, if you read the book of Malachi 2:14, it'll tell you that God's real desire and passion for marriage is that he wants godly seed. God is not interested in, I mean, well, maybe I won't say God is not interested, but God has more passion for the children that you will bring out of your marriage than just the relationship you will have. The relationship is for both of you. He says, what does God get out of marriage? What God gets out of marriage is godly seed. God is not just looking for well-behaved children. God is not just looking for children with good manners. God is looking for godly seed. There's a difference between godly seed and good children or well-behaved children. Now, godly seed requires that both parents would be godly. So your children learn from watching you more than what you say to them. And I always tell people, children learn more by what they see than by what they hear. So you and your wife or you and your husband have a responsibility to that child to pattern godliness, which is what God is really after. That's one of the major goals of parenting. It's not just about sending them off into a future, buying the best things, sending them to the best schools. Also make sure that they are growing up in the way that God wants them to grow up. So I want to start from parenting them right. And what is parenting? Really, what does God require from you as a parent? I'm going to try very hard to keep it within the home, the four walls of the home. What God expects you to do as a parent in the home. And that's so important because for a long time, I've noticed now that a lot of people have left parenting to teachers in school and teachers in church. So most times, children only read their Bibles when they're in church. Children are only cared for when they're in school. And as parents feel like as far as we can pay the bills, as far as we can bring the money, then we have done our bit. And that's the lowest level of parenting. There are certain things that God requires that you must pass to your children. There are certain things that only you can do for your children. And in this generation that we live in, a lot of children are being abandoned to television, to social media. And I can't even lie, you know. All of us at some point in time have been guilty of this. And I'm only saying this so that we can repent together. Because a lot of children have grown up on Disney. A lot of children have grown up on YouTube. A lot of children have grown up on, just name it, cartoons, all the many games they play now, Roblox. You can just come up with them. There are so many of them. The children have their eyes in their phones or in their tabs. So many children are confused because there's no parent actively involved in parenting them. So as a parent, what do you do? Basic things that you can do with your children, no matter what age they are. And I think that the very first thing is to teach them the Bible. Teach your children the word. I don't care how young they are. If they can't learn the word of God just by reading this, you can sing it to them. You can speak it over them. You can have them repeat memory verses after you. You can have the older ones read the Bible for themselves and have conversations with them. Have conversations with them when they're about to go to bed. Have conversations when you're eating. Have conversations when you're doing school runs. Have conversations when you're just having a day out. Teach your children the Bible. This is one of the things that impacted Timothy the most. Timothy was like a son to Apostle Paul. But one of the things that Apostle Paul mentioned was a great factor in him being who he became was that he was taught the word of God. Let me read to you first 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And it says, you have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. So teaching children the scriptures from when they're young. And you know, Muslims are very good at this. They understand the power of teaching the scriptures or teaching the Quran, from when the children are young. So as a parent and as a Christian parent, one of the things you must do is you must teach your children. What it does is that it prepares their heart to receive salvation when the time is right. Secondly, it makes their heart tender towards the things of God. Then it brings wisdom, and then it teaches them the way that they should go in their lives. So teaching the scriptures is something that you cannot leave to just them going to church on Sundays. Children must have an atmosphere in the home where they can learn the scriptures. It should be in the things you say. It should be in the corrections you give them. It should be in the movies they watch. It should be in the music that's played in the house. They must have access to the word of God. Let them learn the scriptures. It's your responsibility, not the responsibility of their children's church teachers, not the responsibility of their teenage church teachers, not the responsibility of their pastors. It's your responsibility. Children must first have access to the scriptures from you. They must see you reading the Bible. They must see your study time. They must see that you give preeminence to the Word of God. Your response to anything that they ask you should be, what does the Word of God say? It helps them think. It helps them believe. It helps them grow in the things of God. So teaching children the Bible is the number one thing that you must do as a parent. Spend time. Spend time with them in the Word. Spend time buying Christian books for them. Spend time. And you know, children are malleable. You can mold them into whatever you want them to become. If you want your children to be great Christians tomorrow, you can start today by putting the Word of God in front of them. There's so many other healthy cartoons they can watch. It doesn't have to be Disney channels, especially because, you see, and Satan understands the power of these things. So he's already putting the things he wants them to be. He's already conditioning them from now. So you see things that are supposed to be for children. They're already teaching things like lesbianism, gay, LGBTQ. They're putting everything they want them to know inside cartoons. And children, we're saying children can't learn the Bible, but they can learn they watch a cartoon and they know the entire lines. They can sing the entire song. A three-year-old is singing Let It Go. Of course, the child can now learn scriptures. If a child can remember all the words of Let It Go and all the words of, is it Encounter? There's a new one now that is reading for them. They can learn the scriptures. It's just that we don't want to take the time to invest in sitting with them and teaching them the Word. Write affirmations all over your house. Put them on your fridge. Put them on your door. Something I do with my kids. I have this card, this deck of cards that's alphabets with scriptures. So A is something, B is another thing. So A for them is a friend loves at all times. And so my children learn it. So when they come home, I'll say A, they say friend loves at all times. B, be kind and considerate to each other. C, you know, I just keep doing that with them. And unconsciously, it has become scriptures that they know now. And secondly, it has helped their prayer life. Because when they are praying, they can now pray, Lord, help me to be a friend that loves at all times. Because it's a scripture that they've learned. Help me to be kind and considerate towards my brother or my sister, because the scripture they've learned. So put the scriptures in front of your children. The second thing you can do is to create boundaries for your children. Create boundaries for your children. Listen, I know you don't want them to cry, but let me tell you, if your children don't cry as children, you will cry when they're adults. As my mother-in-law used to tell me when I first got married, that crying doesn't kill children, it expands their lungs. And I agree with her. Cry doesn't kill any child. The child will cry, but when they get up from there, they will be all right. But if you don't do the right thing, when they get older and they haven't learned to respect boundaries, they will create problems for you in the future. So they shouldn't have all the time watching TV. They shouldn't spend all the time on their tablets or their phones. I don't even know why a 10-year-old has a phone. I don't really understand it. With the craziness that is outside in the world, even a 20-year-old sometimes needs a break from their phone. So how do you hand something so powerful and so dangerous at the same time to a child just to prove that you can afford to buy for that child? That's danger. In fact, in my opinion, that's child abuse. Giving a child something that they can't handle, you know they can't handle it. And you know, these days, even with all the parental guidance things that you put on your tabs, there are ways around these things. Don't let your children have free rein to YouTube. YouTube is not, they don't have the same agenda you have. They're not trying to raise your children for you. They have their own agenda. You have yours. And so your child is watching something and the next thing, something pops up. And then the child, of course, is curious and clicks on it. Or there's an advert. And the truth is, the adverts sometimes are not even age-specific. So you'll find that your children are dancing to things that you're wondering, how did they get exposed to this? Because they were watching a cartoon on YouTube and an advert popped up. And of course, they didn't know any better to skip it. They sat down and they watched it. So create boundaries for your children. Personally, my children don't watch TV on a school night. They don't play with their phones. They don't have access to tabs on a school night. No, they don't play with my phones on a school night. We must have boundaries. We must be clear. When you come back from school, you do your homework, and then you go outside and do some activities that can make you healthy. Or you read a book. Reading never killed anybody. And in fact, reading is suddenly disappearing. Children don't want to read anymore because nobody is making them do it. When I was growing up, one of the things I heard the most, eat your greens, eat your green vegetables. I didn't like it, but I did it. And today it has created a pattern for me for healthy eating. Did I like to eat beans? No. But I grew up doing it because there were boundaries. You do this or you do this. It was very clear. You don't go beyond this. You don't go out past this time. We had a curfew. Some certain friends, you don't just bring anyone to the house. My parents have to know who are their parents, what do they believe, where do they live, where do they worship. There were certain things, there were boundaries. And today I know that parents are trying to remedy the situation because we've allowed our children grow up on TV and grow up on social media. And I mean, it's not too late, it's never too late, but we're just running around in circles because these days a lot of children are now being taught things that parents think are most important. So I hear a lot of parents shouting, oh, sex education, let the child be, you know, let them know their private part, their public part. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm only concerned when you take the responsibility from off of yourself and you put it on the child. So you want the child to know their private part and so they can protect themselves. So what do you do, mommy and daddy? So who protects the child? If the child's protecting themselves, who protects the child? Sometimes when children are abused, it's a bit too late. Because by the time somebody has touched, we should prevent the children from being in a position where they can be touched. So bringing strangers into your home and having the children call everybody uncle, this is uncle this is auntie that. I tell my children all the time, this is Mr. So-so-and-so, he's the driver. This is Mr. So-so-and-so, he's the gardener. This is Mrs. This. Don't give your children access to people they shouldn't have access to. Don't allow just anybody in your home. Our parents were a bit more careful. But now, everybody's, you know, just allowed the children. Sometimes I'm a pastor. Sometimes I'm appalled at how I see children running around and running to everybody in church. Everyone. Your children should know that there are boundaries. When we're growing up, we're taught things like, don't speak to strangers. Now, you don't even need to. You know, these days they can. And that's one of the concerns I have with social media and all these apps. Even Roblox, everybody says kids are there. Adults can come in. There's no way you can know whether it's an adult or a child. And then they start to exchange information. Children are already being put in positions where they can be hurt. So as parents, create boundaries for children. Create boundaries for them. It's okay to say no to your child. And I know that these days they say things like, don't say no to a child, it will affect their self-esteem. I've heard all kinds of crazy parenting tips these days. Say no. Sometimes I say no just because I want to say no. So that the child can get used to see that you can't, the world does not revolve around you. The world does not revolve around you, my darling. So I say no. Mommy, can I have ice cream? No. But there's ice cream in the house. But I said no. So control yourself. It's from saying no, they learn discipline. From boundaries, they learn discipline. Sometimes just say no. It's all right. It's not going to kill the child. Child should be used to it. It's okay. Because life won't always give them everything. So you have to do the job of simulating life for them. Start to create boundaries from when they're kids, when they get older. Teenagers should have curfews. I don't understand it. You're not listening to me. These days, children are parenting their parents. The other day, I saw someone and her daughter was wearing something. And I said, why is she dressed like this? She said, oh, it's what she wants to wear. I said, she's six. She's 6 years old. How does she even know what she wants? Talk less of knowing that that's what she wants to wear. And it's something this scandalous. And you are okay with it. I can't count the number of times I've had to stand by the door and clean lipstick off five-year-olds coming to church. Let the children be children. Jesus said, let the little ones come to me. We're sending him adults. Totally opposite of what he instructed. Let the little children come to me. I don't have anything against teaching children sex education, but it must be age appropriate. And then we don't stop there. We make sure that they never need to shout. They never need to use that education you're teaching them. We should protect our children and preserve their innocence and their youth. Some of us are sexualizing our children too early. And I know that some people say, oh, I'm living a bubble. I don't think so. I think our job is to actually, like Moses' mother, put our children in a basket and cover it with tar before we set it on the Nile. Don't just send your children out and say there are crocodiles out there. It will eat you. Cover them. Cover them. So the next thing is to create boundaries. The third thing, which I think is also very important, is to make them conscious of the blessing. If you're kingdom parents, if you're Christians, your children carry a blessing. It is the blessing that we all carry, that we attach, and it's the blessing of Abraham. We're attached to him. That God will bless your children. God will make them great. God will make their name great. And then he will make them a dispenser of good, that they will be blessed everywhere they go. People will run around. There's favor, there's goodness. Let them be conscious of what they carry. Don't just send your children into the world and have them struggle like any other person. It's your responsibility as a parent to make them understand that they carry the blessing. They carry the blessing of God. So when others are sick, they will be healed. When there's a casting down with your children, they will be lifting up. When others are failing, your children will pass. When others are beneath, they will be above only. When others are the tail, your children will be the head. You have to make them conscious that we are different. There's something different about us. We're not like everyone else. If others are failing, you don't fail. If others are getting sick, you don't get sick. Make them conscious of this. Let them be intoxicated with the covenant that you have with God. That covenant must be passed down. It's part of parenting. Don't leave it to people outside to do it for you. Talk to your children every night. My children, I tell them that as David never lost a battle, so will God's work with you be. You cannot fail. You cannot lose. No matter what comes against you, it will go down for you. You don't understand what you carry. Do you know who you are? I keep asking them that question. And I need them to remember constantly that you are different. You're not like anybody else. You are above. So speak to your children. Make them aware of the covenant. Point them in the direction of the covenant. And finally, this is where I want to stop. Proverbs 22, verse 6. And I know it's a very common scripture, something that we all know. And every time we talk about parenting, that's our foundation scripture most times. But I want to read it to you in two versions that absolutely changed my life. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified, then I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified Classic. So the Amplified Classic says, train up a child in the way he should go, in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So you see, this scripture is so important because most of us, you know, when I first heard this scripture, train up a child in the way he should go, I was thinking, it's not the way you should go, train him up before. No. Most of us are training our children the way we wanted to go and we could not go. Most of us are training our children the way we think they should go. Bible says train them up in the way they should go, meaning there's a way they should go. And this also presupposes that there's somebody who has created the way they should go, and that person has just placed your children in your hands just to be their nanny. So you are just God's nanny, you are God's caretaker. The children don't really belong to you. Remember, they are God's godly seed, so they are God's own seed. So what God wants us to do is that we should train them in the way they should go. So we need to know from God what way they should go. Secondly, we need to train them in keeping with their individual gift or bent. So every child is different. That's what the scripture tells me. Every child has an individual gifting and an individual bent. They have a certain personality. So if you're going to train your children, you must know their personality. You must know what kind of child you're raising. So I have three children. And my three children are different. All three of them are very different. So the first one is more outgoing. She's adventurous. She's a sports person. She's a kinetic learner. She has to touch things, feel things. She likes to solve problems. She's daring. She's like a boy, you know. Let's get at it. Let's do it. That's always been her motto. Even when she was a little girl, there was nothing too hard for her, nothing too high for her, nothing. She couldn't even understand no. And if she did anything, you ask who did this, she would say me. She would beat her hand on her chest, me. Like, I dare you to do something to me. You know, she was very bold. Now, my second daughter is more laid back, more, much quieter, much calmer, very resolved. She's also, she has what I call a very sharp mind, you know. She's a straight A-plus kid. She likes books. She likes to read. She likes to study. She likes to do her homework. She likes to obey all the rules. Everything must be proper with her. Those children that never tell you lies. If the other ones want to do something bad, they make sure she's not in the room because she's going to report to everybody. So she's very chill, very laid back. She's very introverted. She likes to stay indoors, but she knows what she wants. You can't get her to do what she doesn't want to do. Then the third one, David. David is Mr. Charming. He's bubbly. He's full of life. Let's enjoy this life. What else are we doing if it's no enjoyment? So this is what happens when they come back from, maybe they come back from school. When they come back from school, when they get out of the school bus, my second child comes into the house and she goes straight into the bathroom, takes a bath, comes outside, takes her homework, and she starts to do her homework. Maybe she's done with her homework, she asks for food. That's her style. It's a, the first one, when they come down from school bus, she drops her bag somewhere. Heaven knows where. She grabs her basketball, and then she just starts outside dunking basketballs. I have to scream, come inside and have your bath. And I'm going to scream like that for the next 2 hours before she takes a bath. Now, the last one, he just wants to play. So immediately comes to us and says, do you have homework? He says, no. Because in his mind, he has left schoolwork in school. So the three of them are so different. The last one, my baby, he's Mr. Charming. So he literally can get anything, can get by with charm. The second one can get away with anything that has to do with her mind. She can calculate, her mind. The first one is a doer. She can get anything done with her hands. The last one will never do anything. You will drop something here, you tell him to pick it. He will find a way to tell his sisters that they are beautiful and they are so sweet and kind. And that's why he knows that they will help him to pick their bag, his bag. And they will help him. He always finds a way. If I one day I walked into school, I went to pick him up in school. And he was coming out of his class. I was like, where's your bag? And he pointed behind him. Two girls. I mean, this boy was in nursery too. He was in nursery too. Two girls were following him behind. One was carrying his bag, one was carrying his flask. I was shocked. I'm like, you're not even 5 years old. How do you have girls doing things for you? So I turned to the girls, give him his bag. And then they looked at me like, and then they gave him his bag. I was like, mommy, I said, carry your bag and follow me now. What's the meaning of that? You know, but he already at that point understood. If you want something from me, he'll come and tell me, mommy, you're so beautiful. Please, can I have cake? I'm like, you know, you can ask for cake without telling me I'm beautiful. You don't have to do all those things. So my point is this. I know each child's personality. I also know when they are done naughty things, how to discipline them. The first one, if she does something naughty, keep her indoors. The second one, if she does something naughty, have a conversation with her. The third one, if he does something naughty, spank him. The three of them have three different ways that I discipline them. Three different ways that I have conversations with them. So it's important that you understand them, their natural gifts, what their abilities are. I'm not pushing. My first is going to secondary school in a bit. And I picked her secondary school more for the fact that they have a lot of extracurricular activities. And she will shine any day. Throw her a ball, that girl will shine. Whether it's tennis, whether it's basketball, or in fact, even throw her in the pool. As far as the sport, she will shine. So yes, she does okay in her school. She does well. But I'm not pushing her to be a straight A-plus kid. Because I don't need to force her to be that. I just need her to have good enough grades. But if she's a great sports person, then I push her to shine in that. Because it's like asking a bird and a fish to do the same exam. If you do a swimming test, a bird will definitely fail, but a fish will shine. And so I understand that. And the second one, even when she comes home with A's, all straight A's, I need to push her, make sure that they're all straight A pluses. What I wouldn't do with the other two, but with her, because I know that she has the ability. I remember they came back from the last exam they did, and I brought their report cards, and I usually have a conversation with them. So come and see your report card. So I called the first one. I spoke to her, oh, you did well in this. This time you did better in this. So what happened? What changed? She said, oh, I understood the concepts better. Oh, I did this, I did that. I said, okay. Then the second one, so I said to her, oh, look at your report card. And she asked me, what did I get in math? I said, you had an A, but not an A plus. How many marks would you have gotten me to an A plus? We had that conversation, she moved. And then I called my baby. I said, David, come and see your report card. He said, no. I said, why? I said, I don't like to see bad things. I'm like, why do you think it's bad? And to be honest, he did so well. He had straight A's, funny enough. I said, why don't you want to see it? I said, it's good. He said, okay, I'll see it then. So I told my husband, I said, Pastor K, see what your son said. He said, we don't like negative things now. We're positive people. I honestly could not believe it. But you see, it's important that you understand that each child is different. If not, you'll be trying to treat all your children the same and they will suffer. Okay, so it's important that you understand that they have a natural gifting and they have a natural bent. I'm not trying to force my daughter to be a sports person, the second one. I just want her to do enough sports to be healthy. So I've asked her, what do you enjoy? She enjoys swimming. So she does swimming, not as a competitive sport, but just for herself. Enjoy it. Can you be good at it? Go to the deep end. Can you do backstroke? Yeah, we're good. and just keep you healthy. That's fine. But the first one, she will do it as a competitive sport. You will learn, you'll be trained. Then the third one, we're still trying to figure out what to do with him. But Mr. Charming, he'll survive somehow. So Amplified says, and this is where I'll end, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. And even when he's old, he will not depart from him. Teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. Having abilities and talents is one thing, but they must also know what God wants them to do with it. So that should be the focus. And how do you teach them to do that? Be present. As a parent, you must be present. When you are with your children, be with your children. Don't be distracted. Put your phone down. Put your phone down. Your children have limited time to be with you. They won't always be with you. Put your phone down. Have conversations with them. Don't blank them out. Don't log off when they're talking and telling you what happened at school today. Ask them questions. Know their friends. Know the things that they're interested in. Be present. As a parent, I travel a lot. So I'm very busy. I have a very busy itinerary and busy schedule. But one of the things I've learned is that for parenting, one of the things that works for me is quality over quantity. I may not be there all the time, but when I'm there, I make the most of it. I make the most of birthdays. I make the most of holidays. When we're around together, we do things together. I make sure that everything we do around us is memorable. I'm conscious of building memories with my children. Because children may not remember everything, but they remember the major events. So as a parent, one of the things you must do is be present. Be present to teach them the word. Teach your children to pray and pray for them. I don't think you can do parenting without praying. You know why? Because children are not even yours. So God that handed the children to you, you have to consistently ask him, what way should they go? What do you have planned out for them? What do you have mapped out for them? You can't just take it by chance. Don't parent saying, let's see how it goes. You must be involved and you must be invested. You find out how this child should go. Then train the child to also learn how to find out. They must know how to seek God, that they put their abilities and talents to use. They must know how to seek God for themselves. That's when you know that you have done parenting right. As a parent, spend time training a child, not an adult. So by the time they're grown up, they're married, that's time for you to hands off and to back off. And that's what causes a lot of problems in marriages today. When parents who should have trained their children didn't train them when they were children, now trying to train them when they're adults. And at that time, it's a bit too late. But for you, it will not be too late in the name of Jesus. So I want to just spend a little bit more time with you and just pray with you. It's important that we pray for our children. And this is one of the reasons why I think that as parents, you must carve out time every day to spend time praying for and with your children, no matter their age. My mom still calls on the phone. I'm in my 40s. My mom calls me on the phone in the morning and says prayers with me. She does that with all six of us. So one of these ways I know is because my younger sister stays, she's always, most times always with me. So when I've spoken to my mom on the phone and I cut the line, her phone rings. So obviously she calls us in order of birth. So she calls from my brother down to my sister. Well, I mean, there's no baby anymore. My younger sister is almost 42. But my mom is committed to calling every day and still praying for us. That's what you do for your children. You teach them to pray and then you pray for them. So I want you to start now. We're going to pray for your children. You're going to take just one time and say, Father, first of all, teach me to train them in the way that they should go. Not the way I want them to go, the way you have mapped out for them to go. So let's just take 1 minute and just pray, and then I'll be out of your faces. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, O God, that you will give us wisdom and the knowledge on how to train our children in the way that they should go, in keeping with their natural gifting and their natural bent. We'll also ask for wisdom to train them on how to seek you consistently so that they may learn how to apply their abilities and their talents to good use. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom to raise godly seed, that we will not miss it in the name of Jesus. They will fulfill destiny. That from now on, we'll be intentional about teaching them the scriptures. We'll be intentional about setting boundaries for them. We'll be intentional about teaching them the blessing, the covenant that we carry. In the name of Jesus, you will give us wisdom on how to train them so they can live lives that are worthy of you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you. I really hope that you were blessed.